Okay, yeah, number 8, T.S. White. This is me, the author or producer of my very own language, my podcast, my thread or train of thoughts. This is Simon, as is the pronunciation in German, of course, of my name, but I rather like to say Simon because I don't know why, but people think it sounds cool, like, in Argentina. My classmates, they also like to call me Simon. I don't know why, something about it that excels, like, right, excels, hervorstechen, makes you cool, or I don't know, even. This excelling, with this, I might pick up my thought from yesterday that in these uniforms there is a possibility of an erotic feeling emerging from the formal equalness, and there the special traits excel, and this thought about the uniforms, I mean, is something so deep I think I wasn't able to express it to all depth, but well, you can't reach reach perfection at any level, right? And this Hegel thought also is so crucial, and I need to really look this up at Hegel, and also Slavoj Žižek, he's a Hegelian philosopher I admire so much, and also need to read him and to come up with a more conclusive and complete explanation, although it was not that bad, but it was quite concise, quite short, how he summed up the philosophy of Kant and Hegel, which is way more rich, of course. But okay, let's roll on. Need to record the next podcast, I feel, because now I published the last one, the one from yesterday. I published now today and named it Refugees Welcome, because that's a nice slogan. This was a slogan in these fights, like when the right wingers were taking over, or at least taking over power, the power of the discourse and the power over the meanings and terms after 2015, after this supposed refugee crisis. And it was, this media fear-mongering, because of course, the media also is, I mean, deeply right-wing. It's simply correct what I said, that it's a right-wing state in the US, also in here. So it's factually, it might appear to those conservative friends like the one I was talking about, Ableton, I'm talking a little negatively about him. It might appear like this is all a left-leaning bubble in the media elite. And it might appear that way, but it is, they're leaning left, might be that they're leaning left, but from a far-right standpoint, which is the standpoint of capitalism, of everything has to stay, the capital has to stay in the hands of its legal owner, and this is, the real robbery and betrayal is, of course, this legality founded upon the brutal accumulation of the past, like when you're piling up a mountain of gold and all this capital, and therefore there appear these phenomenons in the superstructure, to which also belongs, well, all the media discourse, the discourse about refugees and how are we gonna take this, can we take that many. And this is a wholly, this whole topic and these discussions become so loose, they're completely leaving Earth, I might say, they're floating above the real base structure of society, and it's not like anyone is planning this, but this xenophobic resentments pop up, and the great mass of the people is like this. It's not nothing special about Germany, Germans, I mean, it's every year the same, and through all times, the mass of the people is like the plebeian mass, and yeah, we also can't blame them, because we are all products of our time and of our surroundings, but we would need to educate them socialistically, and this would be way better. So, but the great mass of the people then, of course, is open to these xenophobic resentments and say, oh yeah, there's something right about what AfD is saying, or CDU, those right-wing parties, that, yeah, we simply, it's too much, we can't take care of anyone, everyone, and it's too much money we would spend there. And yeah, I'm saying this because after 2015, there kind of, yeah, this all leads to this tense situation that I was describing, not the personal, but the world historic. And also this, there's this great clash between the left-leaning media elite. And this media elite, yeah, it's really like its own bubble. It doesn't even take into account the reality out there, or the people. I mean, in the pandemic, it became so clear that this is a wholly different reality out there, right? The reality, or the thoughts and opinions of so many people, are not really considered and taken into account once you can put a label on them. Like in the pandemic, the anti-government protesters like me also protested, were labeled as right-wingers and extremists, fascists, and yeah. But I want to harp on about this after 2015, because there's such a big gap, you might say, between this media elite that feels, well, maybe a little pro-refugee, but of course then there's other media types like Springer, like Bild, the biggest newspaper in Germany, which is a right-wing newspaper, and yeah, it's all forming the discourse. But I get it, I totally get it, how this conservative friend then gets the impression, oh yeah, this is all leaning left in the media, and only Bild is maybe fighting, and Julian Reichelt, he used to be the chief editor, but then got fired for sexual harassment, or I don't know what. I don't want to know, but yeah, it's really, I really, really don't know what to say, and really don't care, because you also gotta look at it like this. This is capitalism, it's based in superstructures, and we don't have to understand all this in detail as communists. We need to construct the new society, and there it will function differently. But yeah, exactly, it will be different, but this is so hard to come up with, to imagine how this could be. And yeah, so today I feel trapped. I feel I need to go on and reflect. And it's this weekend I was too tired and felt guilty for not being able to, well, maybe make more podcasts or write something up, because I felt inspired, of course. This episode number 6, yeah, this was one of a kind, or was at least there. The pressure got out, the pressure accumulated over this week, and exactly, this was a good thing. But then again, also, yeah, it's too much. This is, I need to explain this, but it's so hard, that the product you make is enslaving you later. The product, like this podcast, is the thing that comes out at the end. Herausputzeln is a very nice word. You might want to annotate that in the journal, because that's like Putzelbaum also. It's something that the childs do. And Herausputzeln is something that flows out or comes out by accident, by chance. Putzeln, come on. To tumble down, to fall out. Well, doesn't matter, there's no exact translation, of course. It comes out, yeah, yeah. And herausputzeln, exactly. the product, the podcast. But then the podcast, I listen to it afterwards, and then sometimes it's too good and it makes me feel, oh no, I don't know, what am I? I can't live up to this high standard. Something like this feeling. And maybe for that reason I'm then smoking excessively. Like, yeah, I was talking about this vice, but it felt also connected. I mean, yeah, to this episode, I mean, my people, this is also now shining in a different light, because, yeah, of course, there I was taking it humoristically, but yeah, on the other hand, it's a problem in my personal life also. This you feel so drawn to, it's like love also. Love is an addiction, I think, but it's not that unhealthy. It's I think this sex and love, it could be a real little healthier addiction, so you feel more balanced. But and yet therefore this excess again, and this, yeah, it's like Nepo, like saying I can't be that man, I can't live up to that high standard, and it's better that everyone see how I fail. I mean, I said all this about that girl in this episode, and how, yeah, it should go, or my life should also turn around, of course, and shine in these new shining colors. The new life is beginning. And this is a important literature work by Dante Alighieri, which I didn't read, but it's kind of in the literature canon, or, yeah, well, of course, the most known, renowned work by him is the Divine Comedy, but what I'm talking here about is La Vita Nuova, the new life, and it's talking about this transforming experience, transformative experience, when loving, and then yeah, everything seems so changed suddenly, and all your life lies there in a new, in a totally new way, and wow, yeah, and everything is different. And Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher I admire the most, even more than Hegel, he said, but this is all lie. And Dante, yeah, you better not trust him, or yeah, you better not trust anyone who's in love, because it, of course, love is also an illness, craziness. And yeah, I also advise that to you, dear people, don't, I mean, I don't know what I can say. and yeah, simply, you can't trust those, can't believe that this could really happen and transform all your life. But on the other hand, Nietzsche also said, man kommt sich nicht nur anders vor, man ist schon transfiguriert in der Liebe. One does not only feel like one is changed in love, but one is transfigured. But this is crucial. What Nietzsche means here is that we cannot live this... Well, the way I understand him is that his standpoint is we cannot live up to this high notion of Dante and say, turn everything around, like me, stop smoking from one day to another, and say, yeah, I must be now a healthy person and prepared also in case this girl, you, my dear colleague, might also want to take some step, or in whatever direction, friendship or other more complicated direction. And there, yeah, there I feel you can't live up to this, and can't do so much as you really should do and feel like need to do, because this is such a high feeling. But this is exactly Nietzsche's point, I think, then, that he says, but this feeling of not being worth your lover's attention or the love, well, being below this feeling and the whole process of falling in love and being in love is already the transfiguration. One is already transformed in this moment, and it's not like an illusion that makes you feel only for a certain time, but no, you are a different person in this episode, hopefully it's not just an episode, right? It's a big, hopefully it expands through time, maybe until eternity, and you are really changed, and maybe this changes only the way you perceive and look at yourself and say, oh man, these flaws, maybe I should get rid of them, or it would be so great, I don't want to blunder or put into risk this new beginning relationship and put on the line. Yeah, I should be responsible, I mean, if not for myself, then for this other person. But exactly, I think something very deep Nietzsche is transmitting us here, that that in love you don't have to wait, you are like this, maybe. Yeah, sometimes of course you wait, like me and you in the office and but this feels good and is also this process of coming to conscience. It has to become clear, one has to realize that, yeah, this transfiguration is now really happening, and I don't know what it means, and it's frightening of course, but yeah, somehow it's a magic spell, and the spell always has to do with the words uttered. And this is what I wrote up also in the show notes. Now, after coming home, I wrote those show notes and then felt like I need to go on talking, because yeah, what I said this weekend didn't live up to my expectations, and was so tired at this party meeting and the demonstration, and then yeah, but there's a lot to say. I have a lot annotated here, and I need to go forward in love. It can't be perfect. Also, I say this to you, I really have no idea what to do in the office or where, how to talk to you, and really, yeah, if you have an idea, it'd be appreciated, and you we gotta take this together, or my point is clearly, as I made clear, that I'm not this strong man, and I reject this position of male vigorousness, and only here in a podcast, yeah, I can give you all this as a gift, these podcasts, but still, I also want to feel weak, and also want to wait and be feminine and say, yeah, maybe I'm also beautiful, but if I'm that beautiful and attractive, then should be enough for you to approach me, right? And if you feel drawn to me, and this is maybe also the reason why women prefer to stay in this position, because this makes you feel very attractive. But being desired, sought after. And this is so flattering, of course, also for men, that I could be sought after. Wow, I didn't think of me in this way, but yeah, I had an experience I might uncover here. I don't know. I was in a dark place, maybe in a desperate situation, but also curious those last month. And when breaking up, well, in December, or then, yeah, coming back and breaking up again in January with my ex-girlfriend, and then, yeah, I was really alone, and downloaded this app, Bumble, again, this dating app, which I met my first girlfriend, and I really can recommend it to people to use dating apps, because, yeah, you might feel that shy, and you might pound yourself for it and say, why am I not a different person, but this is not such a special thing as I had last time. It's normal today, and it's a reactionary time in the future. Things might get better, but we can't wait until then to find love, right? So you can use those dating apps, even if they're capitalist, and I can recommend Bumble. Also made me meet this one-of-a-kind girlfriend from Peru, and she was there, but then now I downloaded it again, and I also said there's this option non-binary, of course. And I said, yeah, why not go non-binary, and also could be dating a person or a man or a trans person. And there was this one trans person, yeah, that we matched and we wrote, and he or she, I don't know what pronoun he prefers, and yeah, it doesn't matter, because those people from these countries, he was also from Indonesia, from an far away country. I don't think they care so much about those debates that we have here in Germany about gender. And this is so great also. It makes me feel I can speak up here clear, because they don't care. These girls feel in attract. Well, these two special girls, as I wrote this summer and winter. But also, yeah, the people I really care about, people outside this high class societies here in the core Europe, the real, well, the EU that that wants to call itself Europe, as if this was the whole continent, the EU. It's just a shameful project of enrichment and enslavement of other people. But okay, and there, yeah, he came from Indonesia and came here because he said he couldn't live his homosexuality there, and it's kind of hard and stigmatized. But but not that bad in the south, in Bali, where he came from. And yeah, we were just meeting, and I was so curious and thinking, how could this be? Could this feel right? But then, yeah, I mean, it was a good experience to go there, but also a little peculiar. And we kissed. I mean, yeah, he was straightforward like this. And yeah, I kissed, but I didn't want to go any further, and then left after already 40 minutes. And it was, yeah, kind of crazy experience, but was enriching also. And I mean, also feel bad, a little bad and guilty now that I can't provide this love for him, because yeah, it was also a certain beauty I saw in his eyes. And but it can't be, I felt. No, it's simply not my sexuality, it's not this way. And yeah, but this I tell because to make clear this point, that in this situation I felt so deeply desired and sought after, and felt like, this is the reason why women are clinging on to those rather reactive role models, those positions, which I also reproached and to this one special girl from Ukraine. And you hopefully didn't take it, or yeah, maybe I think you took it to your heart and said, and were a little upset by this, what I wrote, that why didn't you come over to me, and why is it always my task to take the first step and start a conversation? And yeah, I felt like this maybe hurt you, and yeah, I'm sorry for all this. But yeah, there I kind of with this experience understood it and said, yeah, this feels so great being desired. And I didn't even look at myself like this before. I always thought, like, I'm a man, I need to chase women, I need to say, yeah, of course you have this desire for the other one, and she maybe might or might not give in, but you have to be this way seducing. And yeah, there was the other way around. And okay, moving on, we have a lot on our plate today, and it is the greatest thing we've ever done. That's also what I wrote in these show notes of number 7, that it's like when these provocations were real, assuming that yeah, there were real provocations also from your side, then this would mean we're both the authors or creators of these podcasts. And I feel like this also in love and relationships, yeah, everything you create is kind of also the product of this other person. And yeah, this product thing, I didn't explain this, but it's quite simple to explain. Yeah, that production is so easy and so nice, no matter at the workplace, when coding there or doing all this stuff. Sometimes, of course, it's really annoying when you have to talk a lot to the clients and something not working. But still, I say that the production is really, is really the cherry one might want to pick, but not the product. Then after it, you get out this product and you think, oh, well, what to do now? I need to test it. Now I need to do this and that, upload it, or and the same occurs in podcasting. Of course, it makes you proud to make a good podcast, but also it is something fixed, authoritarian. Then you say, ah, now I spoke these words and not the other words, use this word and not a synonym, and why is this also fixed now and can't be changed anymore? And this is enslaving me again. And the problem with the gender models and positions today is that the male position, not only in love, but let's generalize through all over society, that manliness is more associated to being, well, to make something with your hands, to be working, and to make a product, therefore. Well, maybe this has also to do with what I mentioned in number 5, with this positive, that it's very primitive, but this primitive thoughts and structures have a great power over us, like sexual organs, and what a man can see on his body is this organ, the positive entity that he perceives and says, therefore, I have the strength, at least I have something. And women maybe have this feeling like they're missing something, like what Sigmund Freud called penis night. The jealousy for the penis in small girls, he said, or wrote something about this phenomenon or symptom, or I don't know what, I don't know his theory in depth, but it's interesting. And this is the point. This product is a male domain, and then, one is feeling so masculine, maybe, and producing, but in the first place, this is of course not acceptable, because women should also have this feeling. And of course, you can say today they can also work and do whatever they want, but this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this role model, these concepts, illusions, maybe these mental structures in society. And even if a woman would work and do something great, there's still more obstacles she has to overcome, and still doesn't feel so natural to have this product. And still something, I don't know what I'm expressing here. But on the other hand, also for men, it's I feel deeply like this, that I don't like to, but that my biggest problem are my products, like the thought, how can I put this into a definite product? Well, with podcasts it's not that difficult, because I just start recording and then it all flows out, it's automated. I have a lot of experience, also this compulsive experience that I mentioned, that is so crucially important. Like in chess, those players surely also played compulsively chess, and their mothers maybe told them, no, you need to go to bed now, you need to do something different, this is not healthy. But men are like this, they are compelled and they thrive for this, and they have to be, because they're told by society, in order to be a man you have to achieve something, or you have to impress a woman, and then only you can get a woman. And therefore, but not only therefore, of course, these chess players, they start at a very young age, when you don't think so much about women, the sex, of course, and it's for other reasons. But still, already in this early age, there are different role models, and already there, this discourse exists that males should be, they have this authoritarian call that calls them into action and says, yeah. And this also drives them into those compulsive behaviors like I have, like, yeah, they're also bad, like my smoking habits, addiction. But it's also something positive, like in podcasting, I couldn't have developed my podcasting talent until here if I weren't so compulsive, because yeah, I always last year did those podcasts, so one day after another, every day, sometimes 3 or 4 days in a row did podcasts, and it felt like this, I have no choice, when I come home from work I have to do it. And yeah, the high phase was right there when I met you in September, but I don't know, it had to do also with my ex-girlfriend, which yeah, we came together again after a short separation of some weeks, and then in August we came together, and there was this feeling, yeah, now I can podcast, now I need to be this great man for her, and yeah. This is product versus production. But the crucial part, the part that is not only suppressing women, but also men, also putting us into a disadvantage. Well, this part is this part of the where the product emerges and the production is over, and you feel now I, for instance, always am so much I'm always asking myself how to proceed with my writings and which is the literature work that really needs to be accomplished or finished now, because I have many that I started, but then yeah, it's all so chaotic, and I don't know, I just follow the stack, right, to follow what's up in my mind and grab this and that. But yeah, this is what I set off the stack, and these two girls, yeah, this was a little ambiguous, but then I thought also it's good, it has to do with this firing I drew around myself and you, and yeah, it has to do with this, and it also feels good, and it's really this this enunciation, this statement I want to give here, that yeah, this is really this is a stack, but only composed of these two girls, and it's nothing else I can think about now, and this is really the only thing I want to think about. And you have to be disciplined somehow, it's so hard to imagine, but there's always going to be temptations, and that's nothing bad in my opinion, but of course I don't know what would be your point of view in this on this, and therefore I can't say it, because in love you can't establish a point of view for yourself, it has to be the point of view of the two. And therefore, if you also, would have to talk about this in private, and it's not even clear what I think or what is my theory of love. This was exactly what I said to my ex-girlfriend back then in August when we came back together. And I told her, yeah, well, this has been a problematic issue, but I'm not even sure myself. And yeah, we can try again, but this is my conviction that I want to live love polyamorously. And I think it's the right way, but it's also so complicated, so chaotic, my thoughts, and I don't really know, but yeah, and there we felt both so overwhelmed, but also, yeah, overwhelmed by the male discourse, by my discourse, but it was nice, because the first time she had overwhelmed me when we first came together 1 year before, and she was so, but... Well, I can't go on here because, yeah, clearly there is no way out with this product and production, and I simply can't make a choice. Just now, I had a different idea about my writings was something that I caught up in the office and made me start a whole new novel or a whole new project, because this boss, he listened to him talking. It's always so interesting also when you listen to other people, to colleagues talking there. There are business phone calls, and yeah, he was talking about some budget. There were always those clients not wanting to pay and saying, yeah, this is all included in the budget, right? This is all included, you have to do this. And then our company said, oh no, this was a wholly different contract. And yeah, maybe we could use a lawyer. I mean, right, you gotta be careful with those contracts. But what he said was this, and this I found so great, that with this one company, Porsche, we're working for, that, yeah, the one worker from Porsche, with which we're in contact with, of course, there are several people need to talk with. We have projects with at Porsche, our contact partner, Ansprechpartner, and there he said, yeah, this one guy, he's ordering all the stuff, but then it's on the budget of this other guy, and he maybe doesn't even know. It's like the one guy is ordering from the budget from the other guy. Und er verbrät sein Budget. And this is such a nice word in German. Verbraten. And this, see, this was so, yeah, this, etwas verbraten, to blow, to waste. Yeah, he's blowing his budget, and I think we need to tell him. That's what my boss said there. Yeah, I think we need to tell him, because, oh, at the end, this is all gonna come out and nobody's gonna pay us. And I found this so interesting, because this seemed to me has also to do with polyamory, that the one might be, well, grabbing something that belongs to the other one, and simply the wrong budget, and it's all these bureaucratic problems that emerge in these capitalist societies, and it all takes up our mind. And I don't know why I found this so humorous, and I thought, yeah, I need to construct a story around this, that this one guy is taking the budget of the other and ordering some new software from us, and verbrät sein Budget. Well, but this is just some free association that I'm going on here, and I know, this one thing I said in episode number 6 at the very end in this episode, yeah, it was quite outstanding. It's not good to sich selbst loben, to tell yourself, to hamper, to praise oneself. But still, this episode, of course, not praising myself, only my lovers, and my contribution was only small one, because I perceived all this beauty and these interactions and these signs and signals, and therefore, yeah, this discourse, the words are not even that difficult to come up with once you get that far. And but there, at the very end, I said this about women and men, that comparing male and female beauty, of course, might be difficult, but when I generalize and I said, yeah, men are more beautiful, but that's not genetical, it's simply the structure, the life that forms us, and men are confronted by society with those problems, also those setbacks. Also, it's so shameful for men being maybe not being able to provide for your family, being out of a job, like so many people are in capitalism, because it's always been the strategy of capitalism to have to pay less to workers, have to pay less wages. There has to be a big reserve army, as Marx and Engels called it, an army that's waiting outside the factories to enter and saying, we'll do the job for any wage, even a lower wage than the workers now. And yeah, but yeah, for men this is maybe so hard, and therefore they are confronted with this abysses, these abyss, right? Precipice, precipicio, también en español. But it's an abyss, an abgrund, and confronted with this, this makes also an impression in your face, and there's an abyss also in your face, and also, yeah, but, yeah, this I say in total earnest, I say that I, yeah, believe that kind of women can get everywhere they want to. They can also be better chess players than men, but they would have to be confronted with this authoritarian call by society from the very early ages, be confronted with those problems. And maybe this also would lead to more beauty, but that's not even the point. I mean, women are so beautiful already today, it's almost too much. At least, yeah, if you, as a man, if you have to approach, then it might feel like it's too much. But if men in the future could become more feminine and be thrown into a waiting, reacting role, then maybe it wouldn't be too much if women were more beautiful, even, because then, yeah, you could let them come and say, oh, well, I'll be overwhelmed, but yeah, at least she has now the burden to do all these steps, and yeah, so she'll know how to do it, right? She knows what she's doing. And exactly. But I said this one other thing, that women maybe feel they can't resist. And this is something I read in Robert Musil, an Austrian writer from 100 years ago in, 90 years ago, 1933, same year Nazis came to power in Germany. He published his novel Der Mann ohne Eigenschaften, The Man Without Characteristics, and this is really a large novel with 2,000 pages, I think. And I'm listening to it only on Audible. Yeah, I'm always listening or reading lots of books, but never finishing them. So, like in my writings also, and always, but it's also kind of nice to only know the beginning, and then at least you know different concepts, but none really in depth. But this book is so peculiar, is one really special and incomparable. It's also like this podcast a little, because he always goes on. You get the feeling he always could write more. He's like an eternal mill that's keeping on rambling. It's like here in the podcast I also get this feeling, especially now, of course, with this big inspiration and this big task or vocation. I feel now I have to talk like this or wherever this leads me, but this is not like a love letter like I wrote, and it's love expression, and but Robert Musil wrote then this only about in a sentence, where in a story, in a chapter, where a young girl was falling in love a little to an older man, and he told her about all the relationships he had, or how many girls and women he seduced, and especially those younger girls. And yeah, she was a little young, maybe an adolescent still, but there Musil wrote that she feared she couldn't resist him. And this I found staggering. Or yeah, it's this thing, this is hidden by the discourse, by today's discourse, how the roles are, how the positions of men and women are played in this theater play of society. And this way males have to be approaching, have to be confronting women with their desires and saying, oh yeah, I as men have this lust, this torturous threat, it's torturous, so heavenly, big feeling I feel for you. But therefore, as a man, it surprises you to read then that women also could be so enchanted and, yeah, entangled, thrown into this love net and being caught in there like a fisherman catching his fish, and they simply can't resist. I almost couldn't believe this when I read this. I mean, yeah, this is all these kinds of stuff when you try to look at it from a different angle, the angle of your lover, of the opposite sex or gender. And yeah, they couldn't resist. And this stuck to me, therefore I mentioned it, and I think, yeah, there's something very good about it, because this stuck to me so much. And she saying, yeah, she kind of enjoyed talking to him. It's about Dr. Meingast and Clarisse are the names of those two characters, and she enjoyed those conversations, but there was this underlying feeling she couldn't resist. Oh man, it's fear. And exactly, this is what I wanted to express, that for men it's simply not so believable, or it's not so thought of, that also women have a sexual desire. And this is so sad to think of, because then this has to do also with this easy girl complex I mentioned last time. And this, of course, that women then feel like they can't express their desire, because if they would express that they have a man, they feel couldn't resist him, or they feel they need to seduce him, then they would be called an easy girl and think, oh no, no man would look at me ever again. Because yeah, but this has to do with male insecurity, as I said, and it's totally incoherent, because then also surges the question, how could men even come up with this seduction? I mean, if women should be so tight, then they should only let themselves be seduced by men who's really making the greatest kind of effort. Maybe like I'm here, I'm recording so many podcasts. But yeah, this doesn't make sense. Then no women should be, or it would be so hard to seduce a woman. I mean, as men, you should at least say, if already this is the structure of the society where you have to seduce, then at least we should aim at this, to not make it that hard, and say, yeah, when you also, yeah, this easy girl talk is totally then blocking this and making girls feel like they don't need to give in so easily. But of course, on the other hand, this has also something erotic. This is clear to me. Yeah, it's always dialectic on one hand, on the other, that this is erotic, and I totally get it and understand this, how this is something beautiful and so pleasant and joyful to be desired. But on the other hand, it's also a fear that this behavior, feminine behavior, might in larger part be due to this fear what men and what society, what the discourse might make out of them, and might call them this easy girl. And yeah, and this is so hard. I said last time, maybe you have to fight against this feeling for some years before you can really go to action, but this doesn't matter in love. It's good to take it slow, and I would appreciate it so much if more women could go this way. Not my way, of course, because now I feel like, yeah, with this stack of two girls, well, this is already so much for right now. I can't really put my mind to anywhere else. But in general, it would be so great, and for all other men, for all those shy guys, it would be such a Verbesserung, improvement. And with that, I've already emptied myself. I feel like already wasted all the time, maybe. No, but this is only one last thought. But there are many last thoughts, right? Well, let's round it up with this one thought that is maybe fitting nicely is coherent to this point I made now. These two girls, or especially this one girl, Winter, as I called her in this show notes, because called you, because of course you come from a rather cold country, and where my roommates here told me that, that the good thing about Ukrainian winter is there is always the sun shining, and this is so nice. And here in Germany it's depressing, although it's warmer, but there in Ukraine it's maybe -10, but the sun is shining. But I don't know how it's there where you come from, there from Odessa, I think both of them were living here, from Odessa, from the south. And yeah, you, Winter, then might feel like this, like you're still below me because I can do so many podcasts, and I can feel this, or you could feel this, get this feeling that, still there's this inequality between men. Between us two, because I make my podcast here, I can be strong, and I could seduce any girl. And yeah, this is a hard feeling. Also, get this, that on one hand, yeah, it's totally correct that this is such an intense love, and couldn't think of another love right after this, if it all went wrong. But on the other hand, I feel like the discourse is making one strong and making you feel like you can always come back. And this is what I want to express, is simply that, this male role of being talkative, being taking the initiative, this is what gives us also this superior feeling that maybe you can get over it. Or I don't know how it is. As I said, I don't have so much experience just now. From my position now, I feel this, that I'm talking elaborately, I'm quite the guy, I might say, and although I feel so dirty and stuff, still in the end, you get this feeling, especially for this podcast, especially when you're talking so much, it simply makes you more confident. And this is what I wanted to say, that I think this is the reason this might be a little like this. I feel like this in unequal now, but maybe you could just talk more when we're speaking in person, because it's also frightening me, as I said. Therefore, but it doesn't really matter. There will be a way. Just this feeling, I got this feeling. Although this ring of fire I construct, this is totally true. But then also this feeling that, those girls, they're in a weaker position and in a way helpless, and I'm so autonomous here. And this ring of fire, I don't know, but who knows? Could be thinking of another girl next year, right? But no, I say it's difficult to construct this love, but it's also not that difficult. At least one should try, and I should really give my best, although my best is maybe not even enough, but at least something. And exactly. And the man, now speaking again in more general terms of those generals, men and women, the man is challenged and provoked by those feminine maneuvers, is what I wrote down here. But what does this to him then? Then this sets loose a whole process in him, where he says, now I'm maneuvering so autonomously, it's a pleasure. Do I even need a woman, as I thought initially? That's the point. You get so aroused, maybe also me now, wanted to do those podcasts, maybe to seduce, to give it to you as a gift, but then I get so caught up in it and say, it's so great to be just talking here, and I'm so autonomous, I don't know if I need this one. And this is general explanation I wanted to give here, that this puts men into a stronger place where they then might feel, yeah, I'm above it, at least. Of course, I need a woman. Of course, also I have this deep yearning now, especially. But still, this makes you maybe feel, yeah, I'm above it, at least I'm a man. I always know I can go into any direction. And as a man, simply, yeah, I'm confronted with this pressure, but this pressure also gives liberty and gives me this feeling of being really my own, mein eigener Herr, my own Lord, and yeah, being the ruler. Yeah, and with this, really, I think I've said it all, because it's been an hour, this hour is over, and this episode was, well, okay, but there's still a lot of things on my sheet here, and it's really a pleasure to be, again, after such a long time, be podcasting in those official podcasts again, and on the other hand, also having some preparation, because that's also my guilt, and yeah, what I feel is guilt that I don't prepare, never really prepared my podcast in depth, and only sometimes. But last year, after I came back from this journey to Argentina in February, the day the Ukraine war there started, well, this new invasion phase of the war started, came back, and after that I made so many episodes, and this didn't even prepare them. Remorse is Gewissensbiss, a very nice word, because it has in it the bis is a bite, like also in my name, if you know my last name, but don't want to tell it all here, and therefore I feel also this always the names have to do something with the character. And therefore, maybe I feel all those remorses. That's a quite good explanation, I think. I feel the remorses for my vices and for everything. And but it has also to do with the name and the pressure that the name puts onto you, especially on men, maybe. Exactly. Gewissensbisse, yeah. Gewissensbisse. And Gewissensbisse, yes, something we should get rid of, right? Maybe we should read Nietzsche, we can read a lot of philosophers, because also Platon is so important for love. I was already speaking about his work and reading it out, his work where he talks about love and what love is. Yeah, we could go back to that. There's many resources I can rely on, but for now it's really, yeah, I feel like this is finally the moment where the podcast completes itself, because I felt in all those episodes last year, the political ones, they were good, revolutionary, and really committed, and I was serious and learning. Also, the speaking makes you learn and makes you understand your own thoughts, your theory, what you read and picked up from other communists. But still, it's nothing compared to this, because this doesn't put you into a fight, and it doesn't put you into a confrontative situation. And not only because my podcast wasn't so famous and didn't send it to so many people, just these big role models like Stefan. And the thing is that revolution is so far, you can't really hope to incite one just now, and it wouldn't be the right historical moment, because people, yeah, are so caught up in their treadmill, in their automated behavior, and they wouldn't even be, yeah, it wouldn't be possible to conceive such a thing. Therefore, it has to be a revolutionary time and moment, and there, and this moment will maybe only come in some decades or years, or maybe never here in Germany, but at least hopefully in other countries. But yeah, you have to prepare yourself, but this preparing, this doesn't put you on the line, this doesn't risk anything, this is not enough, I feel. And well, this is really risky here here the love affairs, because yeah, it could put me on the line. I mean, what could happen? I mean, yeah, is exactly. Is I want to be more feminine, and fear also, maybe fear having sex or having to live this love. Of course, there's on one hand the joy, no question, but it's always ambivalent in these. When there's so much lust, therefore this Eminem verse makes a lot of sense. It's lust, it's torturous, is what he raps at the beginning of the song. And the song from number 2, right, Spacebound. Therefore always double knifed, it's a knife with 2 knives. And men always need to pretend like, yeah, they're so above it, they're all manly, and they can seduce women, and it's something wholly positive for them. Sex and love is something entirely positive, and there's no negative spot in it. But I say, yeah, there, of course there are negative spots and fear, and but still the positive, the entanglement, the really enchantment is on top, is the most powerful resource and element in it. And therefore I say this is really some this greatest thing I've ever done, or we have ever done, this podcast, and it's so much greater than any other episodes. And yeah, it was all preparation to be prepared to speak up when it really matters, right, and when really something is on the line. And yeah, with that, I admire you for your courage, and say this, I don't know, exactly, this song I talked about from Nelly Furtado is so great. I think I can play this, play it, and but no, today this other one feels better, because it's so smooth. It's feminine in this way. It's like, love. The whole love field maybe is connoted with femininity, because it's about feelings, smoothness, or emotional, I don't know, harmony. And women always, trying to create harmony and establish bonds, and bring down those aggressive male behaviors, maybe. Well, I can't really find the words anymore, I'm really too tired, and therefore we can play this song from Cigarettes After Sex, is the name of this artist, and the song is Nothing's Gonna Hurt You, Baby. Exactly. With that, I say bye-bye and goodbye.
Whispered something in your ear, it was a perverted thing to say. But I said it anyway. You're with me, you're favorite song. And we're laughing in the microphone and singing with the sunglasses on to a favorite song. Gonna take you from me, say.